The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. In the 1960s, the skin on my mom's hands started peeling, and we didn't know what it was. It turned out to be toxic shock syndrome. Thankfully, she survived. For those who are regular listeners, you know that I've had my own health crises. In 2001, I was having breathing difficulties and sleep problems. I was placed on oxygen. My allergist recommended that I move to a house on a slab. So the house that I was selling, they did a home inspection and found mold in the floor, joists, and the walls. And I had to pay for an environmental cleanup, which I hope was effective for the new owners. Hurricane Hugo, 12 years earlier, was the culprit of that. You may not know, but toxic shock syndrome and mold exposure can be fatal. Susan Hutchinson will tell us about her own recovery from what is called TSS. And Leanne Billings, co-author of Mold, The War Within, will share her battle to get the whole family well from the effects of Hurricane Hugo. Let's listen first to Susan. I'm talking today to Susan Hutchinson, who is the Director of Connectivity of the organization called You Are Love. So welcome, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, today we're talking about toxic shock syndrome. Can you tell our listeners what exactly that is?
Sure. Toxic shock syndrome, which is commonly called TSS, develops when a common staph bacteria produces a toxin which is absorbed into the bloodstream. The toxin rapidly overwhelms the immune system and attacks the major organs, leading to kidney failure, collapse of the lungs, and in severe cases, cardiac arrest. Half of the reported cases of TSS are women and girls who are menstruating.
So what's the other half?
The other half happens like when you have surgery.
Uh-huh.
You can develop an infection which will sometimes lead to toxic shock syndrome, TSS.
Uh-huh. Okay. So the way the surgery is one way, the other way would be women who are using tampons and things like that?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And would it also be possible to get it if you didn't change the sanitary napkin often enough?
I am not aware of anyone getting toxic shock syndrome from using a sanitary napkin.
Okay. Just from the tampon?
Just from the tampons, right.
Okay. And is it because the tampon isn't changed often enough, or is it because it interacts with the body chemistry?
Well, actually, it's because of what the tampons contain. We have never heard of a case of toxic shock syndrome when the person was using 100% cotton tampon. It's because the tampons that are being used contain synthetic ingredients like viscose rayon, and this creates a physical chemical condition that allows the bacteria that causes toxic shock syndrome to produce the toxin. And that's why they say on the little TSS information thing inside the tampon boxes, use only the size tampon you need to control your flow. You know, I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
That's why you don't want to use, if you're going to use tampons with this super absorbent fiber in it, or these super absorbent fibers, you want to use only what you're going to need to control your flow or to collect your flow, absorb your flow, and you don't want to leave a tampon in for over 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Right.
What happens if it's over 2 hours? Is that when the reaction begins to happen?
Right. Within 2 hours, the bacteria can begin to grow. And when the bacteria begin to grow and proliferate, then they begin to produce the toxin, which is absorbed into your body. And you know that the vagina easily absorbs things. If you put a tampon in, sometimes you can taste the chemicals that are in the tampon simply because that has made its way into your bloodstream.
Oh.
And if chemicals from tampons can get into your bloodstream, then toxins, poisons from these bacteria that are growing can also get into your bloodstream very easily.
Okay.
And so it's just, I lost my train of thought.
Okay. Well, let me help you get back on track. So if somebody had this, what would be the symptoms? How would they know?
Okay. The way they would know is they would develop symptoms similar to the flu.
Oh.
Yeah. You would be on your period, you would be using tampons, and you would get a headache or nausea or vomiting, just simple symptoms that you were coming down with the flu, a sore throat, achy muscles. You would develop a high temperature of over 200 degrees Fahrenheit, diarrhea, confusion, dizziness, and then if it progressed or as it progressed, very low blood pressure and a red rash would develop on your body, similar to a sunburn rash in some women.
Okay. I know when my mom had this back in the 70s, I think it was, 60s,
right.
Her hands were peeling. The skin
right.
on her
mine
hands
peeled
were...
Mm-hmm. Right, mine peeled as well after the fact.
Okay, so that's not necessarily a first sign. That could be a later sign.
Right, it's a later sign.
Okay.
Right, if you're on your period and you're using tampons and you develop any type of flu-like symptoms, you need to remove the tampon and save it. And you need to contact your doctor, and you need to let somebody else know that you have been using a tampon and that you could possibly have toxic shock syndrome. Because if you were to pass out, nobody would know. They would take you to the hospital. The tampon would be left inside of you. The bacteria would continue to grow and poison your system with the toxin. And they may not have any idea because most doctors have never seen a case of tampon-related toxic shock syndrome.
Okay. So, and people can die from this.
Oh, yes. It's very serious, very, very serious, life-threatening.
And what's the length of time that could possibly happen? How quickly?
Within a matter of hours, within a matter of a couple of days.
Oh, okay.
Because you can become rather sick rather quickly and reach the point where your body begins to shut down.
Okay.
Especially if you're a young teenager, a girl who has not yet developed antibodies.
Uh-huh.
And it just takes over your immune system.
Oh, that's scary.
It is scary. It really is.
So how can you avoid this? By using cotton tampons?
Right, by using cotton tampons. If you want to use tampons, it's important to use the 100% cotton tampons. And there are also great products other than tampons. You can use menstrual cups.
Oh.
Those are awesome. You can get the reusable. Or you can get the disposable ones.
Okay.
Great options.
Mm-hmm. And you can buy them in any store?
Well, you can buy the reusable ones instead soft cup.
Okay.
They are in most stores. You can get them in the reusable or in the disposable ones. Online and in health food stores, you can often find the reusable cups like the Moon Cup and the Keeper and the Diva Cup and the Lunette.
Okay.
Those are reusable. And those will last for 10 years or more if they're cared for.
Okay.
And the risk of toxic shock is just, you know, it's not there.
Okay. Because of the materials it's made out of?
Right. Well, actually, because it collects the flow and doesn't absorb the flow. And it just sits within the vagina and doesn't change the chemical environment at all. It just collects.
Okay. And how does one insert that? Is it just something you can do on your own?
The cup?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyone who's able to insert a tampon can insert a menstrual cup.
Okay. Okay.
They're very easy. They just fold up and slip right in, and then they open up inside of you.
Oh. Okay.
And they will hold twice as long as a super absorbent tampon.
Okay. Well, you're teaching me something I didn't know.
And the great thing about these menstrual cups is, like some women who are in college or work a lot of hours before they get a bathroom break, if they're afraid their period is going to start, they'll often insert a tampon just in case. But that's not a good idea, of course. But with the menstrual cups, you can go ahead and insert a menstrual cup just in case and be protected.
Well, you're teaching me things. I had a hysterectomy at the age of 29, so it's been too many years. I haven't had to know these things, so I'm getting educated here.
Well, good.
Yes. So if somebody suspects that they have toxic shock syndrome, what do they do?
They remove the tampon first. You remove the tampon and you save it, and then you seek immediate medical attention. Let somebody know if you're a teen or living at home. Let your mom or dad know that you have been using a tampon and that you possibly have toxic shock syndrome in the event that you should become very ill and pass out and not be able to tell anybody. And then either you inform your doctor or you have your parents or your loved ones inform your doctor that you have been using tampons and suspect you have toxic shock. And then go to an emergency room or a medical treatment place, some place that you can go, urgent care, and let them know. And if they refuse to check you out or just kind of blow it off, insist that they check you out thoroughly. Because we know of girls and women who have called the doctor and said, well, I think I might have TSS. And they said, oh, don't worry about it. You're fine. You just have the flu. But that was not the case. And they ended up with toxic shock and in the hospital in ICU.
That's sad.
It is sad. It really is.
So when they're taking out the tampon, do they need to be careful and wear gloves?
No. I wouldn't say so. Okay. Just remove it and place it in a like a Ziploc bag or something like that to take with them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. So how about we take a break at this point, and when we come back, we'll talk about your own personal experience having TSS.
Okay.
Would that be all right?
That'll be great.
All right.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Susan Hutchinson is telling us about toxic shock syndrome. She's going to tell us how the organization You Are Loved was formed and her own personal story. And in the first segment, she talked about one of the symptoms would be having a temperature, and I think she meant the temperature would be 102 degrees Fahrenheit. So let's listen to the rest of her story. I'm back here with Susan Hutchinson, who is the Director of Connectivity of the organization called You Are Loved, which is about toxic shock syndrome. So, Susan, tell us how you personally got involved in this organization.
Okay. Excuse me. I had tampon-related toxic shock syndrome back in the late 1970s. And when I heard of You Are Loved and I read Amy's story on the website, I was truly shocked to learn that tampon-related toxic shock syndrome had returned. I just had no idea that it was once again claiming young lives. I thought that with the Rely tampon fiasco, that surely everything was okay, and I knew that there had to be this little pamphlet in the tampon boxes and the warning on the outside of the tampon box just to make sure everything was covered and people were aware that there was a slight possibility. But I never thought that, anything like that would ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But it is happening again. I was totally unaware of the return of toxic shock syndrome and totally unaware that women were dying from it. I got tampon-related toxic shock syndrome when I was 21. My doctor told me, don't use tampons again, but I did.
Mm.
You know, I just, of all people, I should have been aware. And when I found out that it was back and these young girls were being killed by it and were being maimed, they're losing their fingers and their toes, and their life is never going to be the same. Mm. I just knew that I could not be silent, and I had to get involved and do whatever I could. And so here I am today talking to you about it and doing what I can to raise awareness.
Good idea. So what was the damage to you from the toxic shock?
Well, I did okay. In fact, I didn't even realize what was going on until I went to my doctor several months afterwards and told him that I had tried a new tampon, Rely tampon, and the problems I had had with it, how I had become sick and developed issues and all of this, and that's when I learned that I had toxic shock syndrome and was told not to use tampons.
Okay.
And I continued to be sick for a while, even though I was on some powerful antibiotics. Within the last 12 years, I guess, I've developed some health issues, fibromyalgia, peripheral nerve damage, in my hands and my feet, B12 deficiency, just things that don't really have a reason. The doctor can't say, well, this is because of heredity or because of this illness or because of that. And in talking to women who have had toxic shock syndrome, I'm learning that there are things that happen to you when you have toxic shock syndrome. It affects your immune system. It affects your body. And years down the road, you can have problems like the issues I'm dealing with now. Mm-hmm. A lot of these women are having unexplained health problems, and the doctors are beginning to see that this all goes back to the toxic shock.
Mm-hmm. How do they diagnose it if somebody has it?
Well, to my knowledge, I don't know that there is an actual test that says this is toxic shock. They diagnose it by the symptoms that you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
They diagnose it by the cultures that they grow once you're in the hospital or at the doctor's office. That's one reason why it's so important to take the tampon with you.
Okay.
So they can do a smear on that and see what grows. The fact that you're menstruating, that also keys in. That should be the red flag that alerts the doctors that this is a possible toxic shock syndrome patient.
Mm-hmm.
They watch the symptoms. A lot of women, not all, but a lot of women get better after the tampon is removed because what was causing the toxin to proliferate is no longer there.
Okay.
And the body is able to fight the infection and get rid of the poison eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But not all women have that.
Okay.
Because the symptoms of toxic shock syndrome mimic the symptoms of many other things, like the flu, unless the woman is currently menstruating and the doctor is aware that she is and has been using tampons, toxic shock syndrome may not even play into the diagnosis until after the fact, when they look back over everything and on the death certificate that this individual died from toxic shock syndrome.
Okay. So if the doctor determines that this is what the person has, how do they treat it?
They remove the tampon, they begin immediate intervention with very strong antibiotics, and whatever is additionally needed to assist the body in fighting for life. This is a support thing. They fight the infection. They rid the body of the toxins. They do all they can to assist the body to rest and heal. Because, like I said at the beginning, with this syndrome, this toxic shock syndrome, it's a poisoning of the system. And the body begins to shut down due to the toxins that are in the body. Mm-hmm. It shuts down your lungs. It shuts down your heart eventually. And so they do all they can to support the body in hopes that the body is going to be able to overcome.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that they have a way to treat it. So
right.
You are loved, the organization. What is its purpose? What do you try to accomplish?
Okay, we have a twofold mission. The first is to raise awareness about tampon-related toxic shock syndrome. And the second is to provide factual information about menstruation.
Okay.
The letters A-R-E, you are loved, represent Amy Elifritz. Those are her initials, Amy Ray Elifritz. And every time we say you are loved, we are honoring her memory.
Okay. Can you tell us about her? How long ago and what happened?
Okay. On June 13th, 2010, Amy Elifritz lost her struggle to TSS. She was 20 years old and had no idea she was as ill as she was. She thought she just had a case of the flu, but it turned out to be toxic shock. Her body went into toxic shock, and she died after just a few days, 3 days, I think it was.
Mm.
And her mother, not wanting anyone else to have this happen to them or to their daughter, founded You Are Loved in memory of her daughter. And already the organization has reached out to many, many people and raised tremendous awareness about the risks of tampon-related toxic shock syndrome.
Okay. So how can people help? What can they do?
They can visit our website and learn all about tampon-related toxic shock syndrome and then help us raise awareness by starting with those closest to them to talk to their daughter, their roommate, their niece, their daughter-in-law, their granddaughter, anybody that they know who might use tampons, who would be at risk of developing toxic shock syndrome. Just help us raise awareness.
And what is the website?
The website is HTTP, and then it has a little, the slash. Anyway,
uh-huh.
It's UYOU-ARE-LOVED.org.
Okay. Okay. So they can go there. Are you on Facebook, too?
We are also on Facebook. We are on Facebook / Amy, A-M-Y, Elifritz, E-L-I-F-R-I-T-Z. And we're also on Twitter. We are at You Are Loved TSS.
Okay.
We have a contact page on our website, and we welcome people to leave us a message, make suggestions, and let us know how they would be willing to help. Like if you're a volunteer, if you're a blogger, we'd love you to volunteer to write a blog about toxic shock and raise awareness that way with the people who read your blog.
Okay.
Anything that will help us get the word out.
Okay. That's a very simple thing people can do.
Right.
So what do you recommend for women that are listening who use tampons? Tell them again what you recommend they do.
Okay, I recommend, You Are Loved recommends that you do not use we call them traditional tampons with the super absorbent fibers like viscose rayon. We suggest that you use safer menstrual products, either reusable or disposable menstrual cups, cloth or disposable pads, even menstrual sponges. There are also 100% organic cotton tampons. They don't have the same risk of toxic shock syndrome that those with the superabsorbent fibers have.
Okay. That's good to know.
Just like with a tampon, you can keep a cup in your purse or your backpack or even inside of you if you're expecting your period.
Okay.
They're just wonderful things.
And is there any research going on to try to find a way to cure this?
To my knowledge, there is no current research underway.
Okay.
In fact, tampon-related toxic shock syndrome is not required to be reported to the CDC.
Oh.
So no one really knows how many cases there are.
Okay. Well, that would be something you could start on your website,
yes,
to start asking for the CDC to have it counted.
I agree.
Have it reported. That would be a good, yes, thing that the listeners could do. They could,
exactly,
sign a petition to have that done.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Okay. So what advice would you give mothers for talking to their daughters about TSS?
Well, girls need information. They need information about their bodies and about menstruation and about the dangers of TSS. Mm-hmm. And they need to know that a tampon is not their only option.
Okay.
Moms can be a daughter's best friend, mm-hmm, if they are comfortable talking to their daughters about these things. If they're not comfortable talking to their daughters about menstruation and about toxic shock, then give us a call. My number is, well, I can give my number if you like.
Okay, a number that you're okay giving out, yes.
Yes, 478
918-3224.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or they can leave me a message at my You Are Loved email address, which is SUZAN at YOU-ARE-LOVED.org.
Okay.
Well, and we'll make sure that they have the assistance they need.
Well, thank you so much, Susan. This has been extremely educational, and I'm hoping that people will contact you so that together we can make a difference.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, keep us posted on,
sure will,
the people who respond. So thank you so
much.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you looking for a 21st century first aid kit? You don't have to suffer nor take on the increasing expense of healthcare. Tune in to Good Vibrations. Catch the wave to better health. Your host, Lynn Waldrop, will show you how many common and even uncommon aches, pains, and ills can be remedied through sound, color, and light. While it may sound like these are new concepts, believe it or not, these are actually ancient methods that still make sense today. Create a healthy life. Listen Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio. Because shift happens.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We heard about toxic shock syndrome, and now Leanne Billings, co-author of Mold, The War Within, will talk about how the effects of Hurricane Katrina, the mold and other environmental hazards that came from the storm and how they affected her family. Let's listen to what Leanne has to offer to us. Today we're talking to Leanne Billings, who's the co-author of the book Lessons Learned from Katrina, Mold, The War Within. So welcome, Leanne.
Welcome. Thanks for having me on, Melanie.
Well, it is my pleasure because you have information I personally needed to know years ago. So better late than never.
Yes.
So how did you personally become so knowledgeable about mold?
Being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
We were down in Louisiana. We had just been there 4 months for a job relocation when Hurricane Katrina hit. And we were on the outer bands of the storm, but our house became wet. The roof lifted up, and we had all sorts of mold that developed rather quickly. And we were there for 2 weeks until we could get evacuated out by the Red Cross.
Mm. Did you know that the mold was a problem at the time during that two-week period?
We knew that we were having respiratory problems. We knew that there was mold visible inside the structure that we were in. We thought that once we got into clean air and clean water, that the health problems that we were experiencing would go away and our health would bounce back. We did not understand that mold, I mean, we knew mold is a living organism, but we didn't really know that you could breathe it in and it could actually start growing in your lungs, in your tissues, and that even once you're removed from the source of exposure, that you could continue to get much, much worse.
So it doesn't take very long to be exposed before this can start to happen?
It can happen rather quickly, especially for anybody who's in a high-risk group. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that we didn't realize, and most people don't realize, is that the high-risk group for mold exposure is quite a wide group of people. According to the CDC, the group that encompasses their high-risk group is elderly people and mm-hmm. people who are children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a wide population group right there. People who have asthma, allergies, any prior respiratory condition. I mean, that's a huge group of people there.
Right.
And then people who've had major surgeries recently.
Mm-hmm.
All of those people I wouldn't have necessarily thought about being at high risk, which is why we didn't realize that we were at high risk. And then also in the high risk group, of course, is people that, you know, we all would readily recognize as being in a high risk group, people who might have an existing serious health condition, people with AIDS or HIV, organ transplants, things like that. But we were in a high-risk group. Every single member in our family was in a high-risk group, and we didn't realize it. Of course, our children, because they were children.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt had been, he has a history of allergies and a bit of asthma, and he had used a steroid inhaler for several years, just real sporadically, you know,
mm-hmm.
just kind of as needed, so not very much at all. But that also puts someone in a high-risk group because the steroid inhalers, or even the oral steroids, they lower your immune system.
Mm.
And so
yes.
we didn't know any of that. And I had just had recent major surgery. So we became very ill from the exposure level, where if somebody who was not in the high-risk group may not have gotten ill from the same environment. But
mm-hmm.
it just happened that our whole family was in a high-risk group, so we all got sick.
Yeah, and when one's sick, you can't take care of somebody else if you're sick. It's a hard job.
It was. It was really tough. Kurt was the sickest. By the time we got up to Montana, which is what I said where the Red Cross evacuated us to, we went into the doctors right away when we realized, he wasn't getting better. And they said they did some air testing on his lungs, and he had only about 25% of the air capacity, you know, the ability to breathe with his lungs.
Hmm.
And I said, what is that? How could that be? What's wrong? And they said, well, there's something growing in his lungs. There's something in his lungs. And I said, what do you mean there's something in his lungs? You know, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And they said, well, you got into something. What did you get into? And we said, well, there was mold everywhere. And they said, no, mold can't make you sick, you know, not like this. What else did you get into?
Hmm.
And that was where one of the greatest challenges in getting treatment for mold exposure lies, is that many of the treating physicians do not realize the extent to how sick you can get from mold exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you need to find somebody that's mold literate, kind of doctor, that would know how to treat it.
Either that, or find some doctor that, if you have a family physician who knows your medical history, you know, we always recommend starting with your family physician, someone who does know your medical history, because you can always bring in information for the doctor so they can get up and running rather quickly. The key is, does the doctor care? Does the doctor want to invest a little bit of time to read up on what his colleagues have been studying and learning in regard to mold exposure?
Mm-hmm.
When we put our book together, one of the reasons we did the research was just so our own family could get well. But when we came to the awareness that there were so many people ill from mold all across the Gulf Coast, and now when the book came out, we realized it's not just the Gulf Coast. It's, you know, there's people all across the country that are ill from it. But we put in all the references to all of the published peer-reviewed scientific and medical documentation so people could actually take our book into their medical doctor and say, you know, you're my doctor and you know my medical history and I was exposed to mold and here's the published peer-reviewed literature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can get up to speed on it. And our book goes over treatment options, both natural treatment options, and it also discusses the dangers of the pharmaceutical options, because unfortunately, and this is what makes getting well from mold exposure so hard, there is no one pharmaceutical that you can take that's going to assure you that you're going to get well.
Mm, that's scary.
And yeah. Some of the pharmaceuticals that they use to treat the mold-related illnesses have very severe side effects.
Mm.
And so we're just trying to educate people so they can make informed decisions.
And one treatment doesn't fit all. It depends on what the person's immune system is, what other medical conditions they have as to how you treat it. Would that be correct?
Exactly. And we talk about that also in the book. And this is why it's important, even if you're using natural healing methods to treat your mold-related illnesses, to have a medical doctor working with you, because there are natural treatment options that will affect your health or interact with an existing pharmaceutical that you may be taking.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a natural food even, or a supplement in a large quantity as far as being treated medicinally, it can have a much different effect than if you're just, you know, using a small amount of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were being treated, we had a team of doctors that we eventually ended up coming together, but our main primary doctor that saw us each week was a naturopath, and we were in Montana, and the naturopaths up there, according to their state laws, pretty much carry almost the same weight as a doctor with an MD.
Oh, that's good.
And she was able to really monitor us and make sure that what she was prescribing, even though it was natural, that we didn't have an adverse reaction, because some of the things we did. And we also put that information in the book, because you think, oh, well, that's natural, it can't hurt me, but that's not necessarily true. And then when we started making some headway, it sounds funny, but we were so ill, we couldn't tell when we started to slightly get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd put us on something, and we came in the next week, and she said, oh, my goodness, I think this is working. This is doing something. And we said, are you sure? And she said, yes, the whites of your eyes are a little bit whiter, and your hair, the sheen of your hair is a little bit better, and you're carrying yourself a little bit stronger. And we're just looking at each other like, oh, really?
Right.
And she tripled our dose of what we were taking. And we were all looking at each other going, wow, okay, are you sure? And she says, absolutely. I am absolutely sure. I have no doubt whatsoever. So we followed what she said. And that was a very big turning point for us. But if we hadn't had her observing us, monitoring us, and controlling the doses, you know, prescribing the doses of what we were taking, we would have never known to take that amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was really using it medicinally to treat us. and knew more what she was doing. If we had been self-treating without supervision from a medical doctor, we would never have increased our doses of these supplements to that level, you know.
Right.
We wouldn't have known to, number one, and number two, we just wouldn't have.
Right.
So we encourage people to find someone that's local,
mm-hmm.
Because so many people think they need to find a mold expert, and they'll put a lot of money into flying clear across the country, that they may be there for a couple weeks at a detox center with a mold specialist, and then they fly back home, and then they need somebody, and there's nobody there.
Okay. Well, talking about needing somebody, we need to take a break right now. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about more specifics, okay?
Sounds great.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope.
There are a number of health and social services available to individuals for low cost or no cost. Now there's a radio program devoted to bringing you the information you need. Tune in to Outreach Today with host Melissa Jenkins-Simon. Our program promotes the benefits and services of CI Incorporated, providing health and social services over a wide spectrum of resources and agencies. We want to help you. Tune in to Outreach Today, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We have found out that not everybody gets treated the same to recover the effects of mold exposure. So let's find out some more of what Leanne Billings has to tell us about it. We are back here today with Leanne Billings, the co-author of Mold, The War Within. If you want to reach her and Kurt, her husband, the co-author, you can reach them by friending them on Facebook. You go to Kurt, K-U-R-T dot Billings, B-I-L-L-I-N-G-S, because they have a lot more information than we can get in this interview today. So, Leanne, let's talk about the various things that can be inhabiting a house, the mold, and what are the other things that can be present that can make people sick?
That's a great question, Melanie, because when we first saw the mold coming, you know, growing in our water-damaged home, I didn't think anything of it, you know, other than just that there's mold there. But there's so much more than mold. It's a really complex environment. You have the mold spores, and a lot of the mold species that grow in the wet building material, they're what they call toxigenic molds. They produce poisons called mycotoxins. And those mycotoxins get into the air, and then the occupants inhale them. And they dissolve once they're inside the human body, and they circulate into the blood.
Mm.
And people can develop very serious toxic poisoning, systemic toxic poisoning from that. Also, what grows along with the mold is bacteria. Oftentimes, bacteria will grow right along with it, and many of the bacteria also produce toxins, and some of those toxins, I've been told, are even more damaging to the human body than the mold toxins. And then as both of these microorganisms grow on the building material that's wet and, you know, produces just the right environment for them to grow, the substrate, the building material itself, releases VOCs, volatile organic compounds, into the air. So the occupants are also breathing those as well. So it's a very complex environment that should not be looked at lightly. It needs to be acted on quickly.
And it's not always visible, because the house that I lived in Charleston, South Carolina, had been through Hurricane Hugo 17 years before I moved into it. And I did not see that there was mold in the floor joists and the support beams underneath the house. And I ended up very sick and on oxygen. So it's not always evident.
Absolutely. Lots of times they will come in and they'll make everything cosmetically look pretty, but they don't get down to the structural bones of the house where then the hyphae of the mold can actually grow back out. A good example of that is after Hurricane Katrina hit, many of those homes were stripped down to the studs, and the studs were sanded, and they put on fungicide onto the studs, and then they rebuilt out thinking they were fine. Within 1 year's time, the fungus had grown back from the studs outward through the sheetrock again.
Mm.
So, you know, and those were serious fertile conditions for mold growth. But you can get a building that has mold growing in the wall for years that doesn't grow outward to a visible point. So the key is if you smell something that smells musty,
mm-hmm.
know that you have active mold growth, because that musty smell is actually the VOCs that you're smelling.
Mm.
So you know that the mold is actively growing and that the substrate is releasing VOCs.
So what happens if you smell that? What should you do?
You're going to need to get somebody in to do some testing, and there's various ways to test for mold, and it's probably more time than what we have here on the show today, but we cover all that information in our book, so that's a good resource to go to. I'm going to give some names of organizations here for where you can contact them. On their website, they've got databases. So you put in your zip code, and then you can see who's in your area, and that gives you some live people to call, ask some questions to. You can have someone come over and do some testing. There's one organization called the National Organization of Remediators and Mold Inspectors,
mm-hmm.
and their website is normi.org. So it's just their acronym, normi, N-O-R-M-I.org. Another one for testing that you can call is the American Industrial Hygiene Association. They, again, have a database that's searchable, so their website is AIHA.org.
Okay.
So, again, that's AIHA.org. Then once you determine that, yes, you have mold, no, you don't have mold, if you do have mold, you've got to go to the next step and find somebody to remediate the mold and to remediate the structure, I should say, rather. And it's not going to be the same person that tests it.
Mm.
So then you need to call a different organization. A good one to call is the IICRC, and their website is IICRC.org. And their acronym, I should have written it down before the show, it stands for a big name.
It's okay.
They are, I apologize for that, but they are one of the oldest organizations that exists in our country, and they're actually international. And so they have a database also, and they are trained to do the remediation end. And then once you have it remediated, you want to get somebody back in there on the inspection end to do some clearance testing to make sure that it was all gotten, and if you don't have high levels of mold spores still in the home, you know, from some sources, hidden mold growth.
Okay. So while this remediation is going on, people need to be out of the structure.
That's an excellent point, because during the remediation process, everything gets stirred up, and so you're going to have much higher mold spore content in the air during the remediation process than you did while you were living in it before it was all disturbed. So yes, that's exactly, people should not be in the structure when it's being remediated.
And also, it's not just inhaling the things that can get you sick. There's other ways you can get sick too, right?
It can come through your skin, absolutely, touching it, inhaling it. And also, it's both the mold spores and the mycotoxins. So it's not just one or the other. It's actually both. And the more dust that gets stirred up, the more mycotoxins that you'll be inhaling.
Mm.
Because that's the transporter of the mycotoxins. They are carried through the air on small microscopic dust particles.
And how would somebody know if they are exposed or if they're sick? What would be the signs to indicate they need to go get checked?
You know, the symptoms can range anywhere from allergies and asthma, burning eyes, achy joints. A lot of people have symptoms that are akin to fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, headaches, even more serious symptoms, heart palpitations, your thyroid can get affected. With Kurt, the mold was growing in his lungs. It spread to his thyroid, and that affected his heart. So it can be life-threatening.
Mm.
So it's not something that should be ignored, and nobody should be living in a mold-contaminated structure, you know, knowing that it's mold contaminated. They need to definitely act on it today, you know, or quickly as they can.
So if somebody goes to their doctor and determines that they have something, how do they, what do they say to their doctor to get the doctor to determine, you know, how did they get tested properly?
That's a very good question, and a lot of times people will get diagnosed with some type of respiratory condition, and the doctors may do air testing, but if they're thinking that they may have a mold-related illnesses, that there are some tests that can be run, but they get quite expensive. So that kind of goes into a whole other realm of how specific people want to be tested for mold-related illnesses. But if you go in for a physical, they can check for a lot of things with your blood work, check your thyroid levels and things like that. And if things keep coming up looking normal but you're still sick, what we always tell people is look at your environment and don't just look for mold. Look at your house. Try and look at your house or your work environment with a fresh set of eyes. You know, check for gas leaks. Check for radon. Radon is a huge problem in homes, and most people don't even know to check for it. But, you know, that is the second leading cause of lung cancer right after cigarette smoking. You know, there's so many other environmental factors that could be causing a problem in the home along with mold or instead of mold. So we try and get people to don't put on blinders where you're only looking for one thing, because there could be multiple environmental factors that are impinging upon the health of the occupant.
Okay. Well, Leanne, we've got about 30 seconds left. So once again, if people want to reach you, they can go friend you on Facebook by going to Kurt, K-U-R-T dot Billings, B-I-L-L-I-N-G-S. And for anybody that has a question, they can go to your Facebook and they can interact with you. Is that correct?
Yes, and we also send out updates and information that they may find helpful.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Leanne, for doing this interview today, and I would like to have you come back at another time and talk more in depth. Would you be willing to do that?
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful. Thanks for having me.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's time to wrap up today's show. If you want more information about the toxic shock syndrome, go to urlove.org. And if you want to reach the Billings, go to Kurt, KURT.Billings on Facebook. And next week, we're going to learn about visualization, a tool that can help you with the law of attraction and also with addictions. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.